that can interpret dreams. And so it said after 2 years, so then we find ourselves maybe 10 years at that point. And then they were 2 years into the famine when his brothers are right here before him. Now, the reason why it says he couldn't refrain himself is if you go back to chapter 42, verse number 1, it says, "Now when Jacob saw that there was no corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, Why do you look one upon another? And he said, Behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get you down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die." Because they're in the famine at this point. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn upon those that came, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. So I don't have time to read very much of this, but basically here, they're in the famine, and they need to get some corn. And Jacob, the father, realizes that there's corn in Egypt, so he sends them to Egypt, but he doesn't send Benjamin. And I believe the bond between Benjamin and Joseph was very strong, because when his brothers got there, he recognized his brothers right away, but his brothers didn't know it was him. And basically here, he said that they were spies. Joseph, being in the position that he was, telling them that he believes they're spies coming just to view the land. And there's like, no, we're not spies. We are 12 brethren. They said one is not, because Joseph is dead in their own mind, or in their dad's mind, in their lie that they created back when they sold him. And then he says, and the youngest is with the father. And obviously Joseph knows this himself, because he is their brother, but they don't know this. But he says, okay, in order for you to be proved that you're not spies, he's like, I want you to go get your youngest brother that you spoke of, and bring him back. And I believe that Joseph really wanted to see his brother Benjamin, so I believe he said that they were spies so that he could have them prove themselves by having them bring Benjamin back to him. And so they agreed to it. But if you remember back in 42, the father didn't want Benjamin to go, because he didn't want mischief to befall him. He didn't want anything to happen to him. He didn't want him to die. And then it says, and Reuben in verse number 22 answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, talking about sinning against Joseph, when he was the one that was trying to keep them from killing him, and then even from selling him. And you should not, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also this blood is required. So he's saying, because you did that to Joseph, this man is now going to kill our youngest brother. And that's their thinking. That's Reuben's thinking. And they're probably thinking, okay, yeah, this probably is very, very possibly the truth. But they go get Benjamin and they bring him back. And the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. We were just kind of fast forwarding through this. And here we find ourselves, let's go to 44. He commanded the steward of his house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food, as much as they can carry, and put every man's money in his mouth, in his sack's mouth, and put my silver cup in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money, and he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was, men were sent away, and they had their asses, and they and their asses, and when they were gone out of the city, and not yet far off, Joseph said unto his steward, up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have ye rewarded evil for good? Is not this in which my Lord drinketh, and whereby indeed he divineth, ye have done evil in so doing? And he overtook them and spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, wherefore saith my Lord these words? And God forbid that thy servant should do according to this thing. So they're found out. Obviously, Joseph has orchestrated this. But he says, or excuse me, the brothers say to Joseph, if this is true, we're telling you it's not, but if this is true, you can kill the man that you find the cup, which is Benjamin. Because we fast forward, it says, behold, the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. And so he said, you can kill the man who the cup is found in his sack, and we will be your servants. The father didn't want mischief to befall Benjamin. I'm pretty sure mischief would include him dying. And so the brothers are saying, okay, all right, we can't let Benjamin die. And so they say, take me instead as a bondman, because Joseph doesn't agree to the killing, but he does agree for that person becoming his servant. He's like, no, take one of the brothers says, take me instead, Judah. He says, take me instead, because obviously he wanted Benjamin to be able to go back with his father. He says, take me instead and let my brethren go back with my father. And so all this is building up. Joseph is realizing that they're very scared at this point. They want Benjamin to be able to go back with his father. In verse number 32, for thy servant came surety for the land unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then shall I bear the blame to my father forever. Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad, a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad not be with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come upon my father? Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. So Joseph, he's seen his brothers back in chapter 42 for the first time. We saw that he wept the first time he saw them. But then we see in verse number 2, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. So he caused every man to go out except for his brethren. And, you know, maybe some of the Egyptians were just in the other room. Maybe they had a cup to the wall trying to hear why Joseph had them leave the room. But we certainly know that they were probably just scattered throughout. Maybe some of them far, some of them closer. But the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. I don't know how many people that was, but Joseph must have been pretty loud. He had all that he was trying to hold back. But finally, he just let it out. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. So in verse number 1, it says, while he made himself known, I don't know how he would have made himself known unto his brethren. But in verse number 3, he verbally makes himself known by saying, I am Joseph, your brother. And they couldn't answer them, and they could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Now, the word troubled here, if you look up in, I use the app called eSword for my Bible app to kind of see the meaning behind words. And so the word troubled has a lot that goes with it. Let me refer back to my notes here so I remember what all the emotions they had with it. Obviously, we know that they probably never expected to see Joseph ever again after what they did to him. They were probably hoping all that was behind them. But they were found out, obviously. They're going to have to go back to tell their father that Joseph's actually alive, which that's probably going to raise some questions. And they were troubled. They were caught. They realized that all this that they had hidden was going to be manifested. And they probably were troubled thinking that Joseph's probably really mad at us. He probably wants to do something to us. They're very scared. They're dumbfounded for sure. They like, I can't believe the Joseph's right before us today. And something, as my dad and I were studying out this passage, when Joseph was telling his dreams, obviously we know that they hated him because it says that Joseph was loved more than all of his brothers by his father. That caused them to hate. And then because of his dream, he's going to be this guy in all this power according to his dreams. And they didn't like the sound of that, so they hated him even more. Then they hated him when he was out in the field when they saw him afar off. And so all this hate was building up, and it caused them to do what they did. But what they didn't think about was that these dreams were coming from God himself. Right. And as my dad and I were talking about it, we have to be very careful that we don't discount God in something, because then it can cause all this to happen. Sure. But I want you to notice in verse number 4, Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. So I would assume that maybe Joseph is up elevated, maybe in, you know, a place of authority, and they're far back, maybe kneeling down or something, because they were going to bow before Joseph. They did that in chapter 42 already. But I'm sure they were in a place lower and maybe far back. And so Joseph says, come near to me. So he's closing some distance between them that maybe they've had for a very, very long time. And so he's bringing them close in. Maybe they're afraid that this is when Joseph's going to hit them or something, you know, in their own thinking. They're like, okay, he's about to hit us. But he's like, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near and said, I am Joseph, your brother. He says it again, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves. Imagine how comforting that would be for them to hear. Sure. That you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. And obviously, this is a picture of this Joseph being a picture of Jesus. Jesus was sent before us to preserve life. But even though they had this plan, and my dad preached the message about the plot of the devil versus the plan of God, you can see it's very evident here. There was a plot that Satan used his brothers to sell him into slavery, but God already had a plan for that even before Satan plotted against Joseph. And then Potiphar's wife putting him in prison, God had a plan for that as well. Interpreting the dreams of the butler and the baker, and then them being able to use that to tell Pharaoh that there was a man that could interpret dreams, that brought him out of the prison into a place of power. And so we see that God has a plan for the plot of the devil.
Sure.
Even though that they meant it unto evil, God meant it unto good. And it's truly amazing the way that all things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it tells us that. But then Joseph, he told them that he's not angry. They shouldn't be grieved with themselves, because God had a bigger plan than the little plot that they allowed themselves to be used by Satan. And so it's an amazing story as I studied all this out. But for 2 years, it says, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be earing, which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and save your lives by a great deliverance. They surely would have died during this famine. Maybe they probably didn't have very much money to purchase food as they needed to survive. And in the Bible, earlier on in Joseph's time of power, when he's talking about the famine is described as going to be very grievous. It's going to be the the worst thing that Egypt's ever seen, maybe during this time. And there was just going to be a very scarce opportunity for many people to live. But not only were they going to get to live, they were going to get to live very, very well off during this famine. If you look further down, I need to skip through some of this. Pharaoh is very pleased by the fame of Joseph and his brethren. and he commands them. If I can find it. So verse 14, he falls upon his brother Benjamin's neck, and he wept, and Benjamin wept upon his. Then he kissed his brethren and wept upon them. Then his brother talked with him. I found that interesting. In verse number 15, finally, they actually say something. So it's made very clear to us that they were dumbfounded by this whole thing. Maybe their mouth was just gaping open the whole time Joseph's just talking to them. An amazement that he's actually alive and in this place of power. And then they talked with him. That was something interesting. Now the fame was heard thereof in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come, and it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto my brethren, this do ye, lade your beasts, which means to load them, and get you into the land of Canaan, and take your father and your households, and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. This is during a famine. But they're going to get to live very well off. They're going to get to live better in a famine than they ever had to got to live in their entire life, because God had a plan for the plot that Satan had. But it says, now thou art commanded, this do ye, take you wagon. So he's going to give them vehicles that they're going to get to use. I would maybe associate a wagon in that time as maybe an RV in our time, you know, where there can be a lot of people in it, and a luxurious vehicle back then. And so he says, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. So he's giving them food, he's giving them a vehicle or vehicles that they can have to go back to get their father and their households and bring them back so that they can have the fat of the land during a famine and all the goods of the land. And to all of them he gave each man. This is talking about Joseph now. Each man changes of raiment. To Benjamin, he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father, he sent him after this manner 10 asses laden with goods of the things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his brother, for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. Now when I kind of search the phrase there, fall not out by the way, I believe that he's telling them to go in peace. He's saying, don't dwell on all this that's happened. This is right. Behind us now. You just go in peace right. And come back. He said, so he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. And they wept, they went out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. He told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is a governor over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And obviously, it's easy to understand how he couldn't believe them, because he saw his coat of many colors just covered in blood. He was sure that Joseph was dead, and his brothers obviously led him to believe that. But then he saw the wagons, and then he said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. So all of the things that Joseph went through was all orchestrated by God so that he could be in a place of power, and so that his brothers could also live in luxury during this famine. Just an amazing story. That's what I can kind of condense for you guys. But thank you for letting me speak, Brother Carlos. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time and the safety that you gave us down here, and the others of our church and the Snyders making it here. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless the time that we have here together. Let us learn something now from the message that Daddy will preach. And we thank you so much for being so good to us. Help us to honor, glorify you, and open our hearts for what you want to teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, guys, we're going to go ahead and take a 10-minute break. Feel free to get some coffee, hot water for tea, outside, or some donuts and some danishes. Make yourself a home. I think the service has officially ended next door, so now it's easier to use the restroom. You just open up this door. You go straight across to the end of the doorway out there. You're going to see the exit sign. That's the hallway where the restrooms are. Make yourself a home. We're going to get started soon. Thank you. He's got you. Yeah, 440. We're just going to do a quick, like, yes. Yeah. All right. So 440. See, I don't like, see, since you're like a real musician, you know, you just kind of go like, what? I don't, yeah. That's not, so this is due to you. I'm sorry. Let me go ahead and just say, let's just use, we'll just do the key of G. 4-4. And I go D. See, that's why I don't know how y'all play it. We can play it uniquely. I don't. We don't. That's why we kind of, we're just playing it by our ear, per se. But if you guys want to make it easier, why don't you guys just leave these songs? Can you guys just leave? You're cool. Yeah. Can, why don't you go ahead and do that? So all I do is like this. I'll just kind of get it quick. I've seen deep in the sea shore,
deep in the sea,
I think we got it. Let's do the second. Yeah, that's solid. All right. Okay, 45. 45. Yeah, you see, I have no idea what that means. But I'm looking forward to you teaching us one day, amen. We'll just sponsor you, girl. You come down on a Saturday. We'll get you for breakfast, lunch, okay?
Straight up. That's pretty much how we do it.
Okay, what we do... Oh, can you pause that?